Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Right, and the lawyer's a liar. The future looks bright like a four-alarm fire. An old man pictures a robin's egg falling, crushed underfoot as he limps through his last summer swing.
Okay, so this episode, episode 9, is going to be getting started reloading pistols. With the last show being about power factor, which comes into play once a shooter starts reloading, I decided to do my next show naturally about reloading. Actually, we're going to just do what you need to do to get started in reloading. The actual process of reloading, I'm going to save that for my next episode. If you're at the point where reloading is something you're thinking about, that means that you most likely have a caliber picked out. If not, that's your first task. You need to know what you're going to shoot. So step one would be choosing your caliber. Since I was going to be shooting SAS, the most common calibers are 38 Special and 45. To a lesser extent, 44, 40, and 44 Magnum. But most guys are shooting the 38 Specials or the 45 Colt. So that was pretty much my choice. And obviously, from previous episodes, everyone knows what I chose. I chose the 45 Colt. If you're going to be an IPSC or an IDPA shooter, then you'll be looking at probably 9mm 40 Smith & Wesson or the 45 ACP. Those three seem to be the most common within those shooters. There are more than just those calibers available, and people shoot them in competition. But for the sake of the folks gathered around the speakers, we'll go with those. Actually, since I personally load 45 Colt, that will be the one that I reference. So once you've figured out your caliber, you know what you're going to shoot, you need to choose your dies and a shell holder. And in the show notes, when I bought mine, I picked the Hornady. So I linked to linked back to the Hornady site to where they've got a picture of the die set that I purchased. So if you want to see what they look like, you can go and click the link in the show notes. The reason why I chose Hornady. The reason why I chose them is because it's a name that I know. I've heard lots of people talk about those, and I've not heard anything bad about them. The price was right, and they, more importantly, they came in a lube-free set. Now, what that is, for instance, the Hornady ones are titanium nitride. I don't know what that is, but because they're made out of that material, you don't need to use lube. Another kind you'll hear is carbide or titanium carbide dies. These are the same thing with pistols because the casing is it's a straight casing. Casing walls are straight. Sorry, you don't need with these dies. You don't need lube, which basically takes out two steps: lubing the casing process and then having to clean the casings afterwards, cleaning the lube off. So by buying titanium nitride dies, I can skip that process altogether. The other makers have carbide dies or titanium carbide dies. They're all the same thing. It just means those dies you don't need to use lube with. Now, some common die makers are RCBS, Hornady, Lyman, Lee, and Dillon. Once you've chosen your caliber and picked out what dies you're going to need, you're going to need a shell holder. Now, a shell holder is just as it sounds. It holds the shell to the plunger of your press. And since there are almost as many calibers as there are stars in the sky, okay, that was a bit of an exaggeration, but anyways, needless to say, there's no way to make one size fits all shell holders. So you'll need a specific shell holder for your cartridge. And of course, shell holders are sold separately. Gee, imagine that. Now, I was on Hornady's site today, and as of the time of this recording, the 45 Colt shell holder was selling for $5. So it's not an overly big expense, but still, because they got to go with a specific caliber, and you're already buying the dies for a specific caliber, you know, you would think it would come with a shell holder. Now, you may be able to find kits where they'll have all your dies and a shell holder included. I don't know. It's been a couple years since I've been out pricing dies because I haven't had any need to. So that may be an option as well. But be prepared that you may need to pick up a shell holder separately. So your next step, step three, choosing a press. Now here is kind of where the fun begins. Your options are a single stage, a turret press, or a progressive press. I'm not going to get into what manufacturer is better than others. Your main manufacturers are RCBS, Lee, Hornady, Lyman, and Dillon. I've not heard anything negative about any of these manufacturers as far as quality. The other podcasts I've heard about on reloading, depending on who's hosting or guests that are on the show, actually RCBS is the only one that I haven't really heard mentioned a lot, and the Lyman. But of all the people I've heard talk about it, I've never heard anything negative. So the debate really comes down to which one is the best. Not so much which one is, don't get this one versus that one because of quality. They all are good and all come in various price ranges. For instance, I think the Lee is a good entry level because it's priced a bit lower, whereas when you get into the Dillons, you're going to be paying quite a bit of money. So quality-wise, I haven't heard a lot of things. Really, it kind of comes down to preference and your pocketbook, really. So that's going to be your options. So let's go through what these things are. I just kind of rifled off three different types, and that's not going to do you much good if you're new. So let's go through, let's start with the single stage. What is a single stage press? Single stage press is just as the name says. It will only do one stage or step of the reloading process. You can only put one die in the press at a time, and it performs that one single function. Single. So, for example, you start with your resizing die. You put, I can see on my laptop that the wind is being picked up by my microphone. I'm sitting next to an open window, so I apologize for the wind. I've got pretty extensive show notes, so what I'll do is I'll go back and listen and perhaps re-record if the wind gets too annoying. So if you're listening to this, obviously I didn't re-record. Anyways, so moving on. Okay, so your first step is resizing. So you put your resizing die in, adjust it to where it needs to be. You place a shell in the shell holder and pull your handle down. The plunger then goes up and the case is sized and decapped. Decap is where it pokes out the used primer. And generally, like with my Lyman, it comes with a priming arm. So at this point, on the upstroke, I would put a primer in the priming arm, move it underneath the case, and on the upstroke, it gets primed. So this is all done on your first die. So with that being done, in my set, there's three dies in my Hornady set that I purchased. So to bring that case to completion, I'll have to take out that die, put in the next die, which is a flaring die. It opens up the case mouth just ever so slightly so you can seat the bullet in it. Adjust that die to where it needs to be, and then pull the handle. Then do the exact same process all over again for the bullet seating / crimping die. Holy pain in the butt, Batman. Why in this enlightened age do we still have single stage presses? Simply, they're great for loading super accurate rifle loads. Because you're doing each step individually, you can take a lot more time and care in each step that goes along the way so that you can, any little imperfections can cause, if you're shooting a long range rifle, can cause accuracy issues. Now for me, shooting cowboy, the targets are, 10 to 15 meters away. I'm not so worried about accuracy. So if that's not the case, why did I buy a single stage? Well, the next reason for getting a single stage is if you're a beginner, it slows the whole process down to one step at a time and really gives a new loader, which is me, because I've never loaded rifles, so I'm still learning how to perfect my pistol loading. So, you know, I include myself in the new loader. It gives you a good understanding of what is happening, what goes into making that round, and how that round works. And for a new shooter and a new loader, I would highly recommend starting at a single stage. I listened to one podcast, and one of the hosts had jumped right into a progressive press and had mentioned how he kind of regrets that to a certain extent, because it would have been nice to start on a single stage just so he could have, you know, been a little more in tuned as to what was happening. With a single stage press, the way most people work with them is in batches. What I mean by that is you don't want to do your sizing die, take your die out, put the next die in, do that case, and then you'd go insane. You can't do that. So what you want to do is you want to run, say, 50 cases or 100 cases through that seating die. And then once you get those done, then you change out your die, you go to the next one, run that batch, run that the same number, run it through the next die. Change out the die, run it through the next one. The reason why I say 50 or 100 is you don't want to stop partway through a batch. For instance, if you're doing 100, you've got them sized, you've got them primed, you've got them flared, now you're getting on to the charging step where you're putting your powder in, you know, you look at the time, oh crap, I gotta go pick up the kids from hockey, and then you run out, and then you get, oh, I gotta stop and get dinner, and then, you know, then the wife gives you a honey to-do list, you gotta do a couple things, and, you know, next thing you know, you don't have time to get back to it, you go back to it a week from now, and you think you're picking up where you left off, you might miss a casing, thinking that it's already been charged. Next thing you know, you're at the range, you get to that casing that you didn't charge, boom, you get a squib. Now you've just basically, not so much ruined your day, but you've just made your day kind of less enjoyable by having to deal with that. So, or for instance, a flaring. So you get partway through and you're at the final stage where you get put the bullet in, and then you find a case that's not flared. It's not the end of the world, but it's a pain in the butt, right? So it's best to make sure that you get all the way through whatever you've started. So if you're doing 50 cases at a time, you do 50 cases to completion. If you got more time, quite often I'll do 100 at a time, but it's on a Friday night. You know, I don't have the kids, no plans, nothing's going to come up, and I've got the time to commit to 100 cases. So that's one of the other things you got to keep in mind with a single stage press. Okay, so I think that just about covers the single stage. Next one I mentioned is a turret press. This one I wasn't too familiar with, so I went out and did some YouTubing, and I found a video on RCBS's YouTube channel that is absolutely fantastic. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes. And so just briefly, a turret press is similar to a single stage press in the way that you're working one case at a time. Where it differs is that a turret press will hold all your dies at once at the top. So you pull the handle, goes in, decaps, resize, push the handle up, prime it, performs the function. You leave the case on the plunger, so the case doesn't move, you don't take it out. What you do is you turn the turret, which is at the top, to the next stage, which would be your flaring die. Pull the handle down, case goes up, it flares. Turn the turret again, you could have a charging stage. Right, so your handle goes up, you pull the handle down, again the case is still on the plunger, still in the same spot, it's the turret at the top that does the moving to each stage. So you do basically one case all the way to completion. So instead of doing batches where you perform one stage on 50 cases, then you move to the next stage, you do one case all the way to completion, grab the next case, and then you do it all the way to completion. This is going to be advantageous over a single stage, as once you've got your dies in the turret, you've got them set. So there's no time lost between changing dies, readjusting everything, getting everything. Once you've got it set in the turret, it's set, right? So you can get a lot more rounds out. I can do, it's been a while since I've actually paid much attention, but I can probably get, you know, maybe 100 rounds done in, you know, a couple hours with a single stage, hour and a half maybe, right? And that's just kind of lollygag and taking my time. With a turret press, I believe in the video, he says you could do like 200 to 300. You'd have to watch the video to confirm, but 200 to 300 in an hour, I think he says. So it's quite significantly quicker. And again, I'm going to link that that YouTube video in the show notes. It's a great video. In the video, he's showing a rifle round that's being loaded. Rifle round, pistol round, for the most part, you know, it gives you the general idea of how a turret press functions. Again, I'm going to cover the actual process of reloading in my next episode. This episode is just what do you need to get started, basically. Now, moving on to the progressive press, or as I may affectionately call it, your ammunition factory. The reason why I call it that is because you can get some serious numbers out of a progressive press as far as loading. What I did was, on the same RCBS YouTube, on their YouTube channel rather, there's a video of their progressive press as well. The reason why I picked RCBS was because it was the first one that popped up. Really, that's it. There's lots of YouTube videos out there, but they're private channels, and I want to try and keep this podcast kind of timeless. So I'm hoping, because these videos aren't mine, I'm hoping that RCBS will not be monkeying around or pulling their videos down or closing their YouTube channel anytime in the near future. So that's the only reason why I linked to those, because it was the first one that popped up. So if you're a Dylan fan, just type in Dylan Progressive Press. There's everyone and their mother has done a YouTube video. And I've been toying around with the idea of even doing my own for the show. So I haven't excluded that. So I may even do, I'll do my next podcast just as a regular podcast. But I may also do a video as well. Because when you, it's one thing to sit and listen to all this stuff. I know I'm kind of rambling here, so I'll get back to the progressive press in a second. But it's one thing to hear somebody talk about it, but if you've never done it, you really don't get the full grasp of what they're talking about until you've actually seen it done. I listened to a bunch of reloading shows before I actually got to my first YouTube video and then got to my first actual reloading, and that it was quite an eye-opener. Like, you kind of sort of get an idea of what the person's talking about, but once you actually see a video, it really makes everything come together and very clear. So like I said, I've got a turret press video linked, the progressive press video linked. I encourage you to take the time, go to the website newshootercanada.ca. They're right there, so you don't have to monkey around with loading up YouTube, doing a search, figuring out what to click on. Those two there are right from the manufacturer. They're done very well. And if you're pressed for time, go to the show notes and do your clicky-clicky thing and check it out. So enough with that rambling. Let's get back to the progressive press. What is a progressive press? Well, a progressive press holds all the dies, just like a turret system. So you put your dies in, you adjust them to where they need to be, and then it's kind of like a set it and forget it. Actually, I shouldn't say set it and forget it, because you should always double check that the press didn't get bumped, a die didn't get bumped, a die didn't come loose. So it's not so much set it and forget it, but for lack of a better term, you set it and, you know, you're good to go. But unlike a turret system where the dies move, in a progressive press, the dies are stationary. They don't move. They don't go anywhere. They have, what a progressive press does is they use a case plate, and that case plate actually moves. So in the single stage and the turret press, you have a single plunger that goes up and down, moves straight up and down. With a progressive press, you have a plate that moves up and down. So when you pull the handle, or actually before you pull the handle, what you do is in this plate is a spot for you to put your casing. So you put your case in and you pull the handle down. And what happens is the plate moves up and that first casing moves into the first die. So it will size, decap, and then when you begin to bring the handle up, the plate will move, and now what it does is it moves into it moves into the priming where your priming arm is, and then on the upstroke it will prime that case. Now you put another, so once that's done, then you put a second case in, you pull the handle down, the plate moves up, so that second case that you've now put in is going to get sized and decapped. Decap being knocks the old primer out. Move the handle all the way down. Now what's going on with that next shell? It's also still in that plate, so the whole plate moves up, so now your first shell is getting its flare. I just had the movie Office Space pop into my head. How much flare do you have? So, sorry, squirrel. Now on your upstroke, the plate's going to move, and the first case is going to move into the next position, so it'll be lined up with the next stage. And now on your upstroke, that second case is going to get primed. Now once you've completed your upstroke, you place the next shell in, next case, pull the handle down. So that third case now gets sized, decapped. The second case is getting flared. The first case you just put in is now getting the charge, and my dog's about to bark, so I'm going to hit mute. Okay, and I'm back, and I don't think he's going to bark anymore, so I think we're good. Okay, where was I? Oh yeah, so the first casing is now receiving its charge. It's been brought up to where your powder measure is, drops the measured amount of powder into the casing, and on the upstroke, again, the shell plate turns, and the third case gets primed. Now what you do is I think you're kind of getting a good idea of how this is working. So every time you pull the handle, the whole plate moves up. You've got a plate full of cases, and some function is being done to each one. And as it progresses through, hence progressive press, eventually what happens is you get to the final die, which is your bullet seating slash your crimping die. So you got to manually with your hand, I'm sure there's some sort of accessories that will automatically do it, but you place the bullet in the mouth of the case, and then you pull the handle, again, the whole plate comes up, the bullet is seated, it's crimped, and then on the upstroke, as the plate turns to prepare for the primer stage, it kicks out your completed round, and now you have a completed round. And once you've filled up every single stage, every time you bring that handle up, you're kicking out a live round. So as you can see from or gather from the description, every time you pull that handle, you're getting a live round kicking out eventually, and you can really move through it quick. Now, the one thing with progressive presses and kind of that you'll hear a lot of people talk about is you need to be careful that your powder measure is working properly. Because if it's not working properly and you start, say it jams up and it's not dropping the powder, all of a sudden now you're pumping out squibs, because all you're doing is you're putting in uncharged cases. Their uncharged rounds are kicking out, right? So one of the options that you can buy, or one of the accessories you can buy for a progressive, is a powder check. I don't know if you'd call it a die, but it's a powder check unit that you'd put it. It screws in where a die would screw in, like similar as a die would screw in, and it's a powder check. me personally, when I make the move to Progressive, which I will eventually, that is going to be a mandatory piece. That, and of course, it's something that you're going to have to buy additionally. There may be kits that you can buy where all this, everything's kind of included. But that's definitely going to be something that I make sure that I get, because you don't want to be at a shoot and all of a sudden you get a squib. Actually, my last cowboy shoot just last weekend, that actually happened to one of the shooters. He got a squib. So it's not the end of the world. You can get them out 9 times out of 10. But it just sucks. It's something that you got to do now that, you know, you don't want to have to be dealing with. So that is your Progressive Press, your little ammunition factory. Now, there is a host, and I'm trying to think how long ago, I'm going to say probably at least a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And we'll call him the unnamed host on Slamfire Radio. Has a YouTube video of, I believe it's 100 rounds in 1.4 seconds. I wouldn't recommend slamming through that kind of speed, pumping out that many rounds at that kind of speed. But again, you know, it just kind of showing the potential of some of these progressive presses and how fast you can kick out rounds. So that's your three main style of presses. The last step is optional, and that is your accessories and extras. Now, I mentioned powder measure a few times. Now, with a single stage, a powder measure isn't really needed. It's not really something that's mandatory. In a progressive press, you have to have something dispense the powder. It's one of the stages of your progressive. Turret press, again, you could do without it and do that step separately. But again, yeah, it makes more sense to have a powder measure to include in your turret. Single stage, because you're pulling the cases out after every upstroke of the handle, you know, you really can get away with it. I did that memory serves me correct, I think maybe 200 rounds. Did it without a powder measure. My kit came with a scale. So I had a little scoop. I'd scoop out some smokeless powder, some of my gunpowder, and kind of just a few grains at a time, trickle into the scale until it balanced out. Okay, pour that into the case. Oh my goodness, somebody please poke me in the eye with a stick. That was insane. I went and bought a powder measure. I got mine used from a fellow cowboy shooter. It's probably like 20, 30 years old. But I mounted it to the wall, and I got I do my batch, and once my batch is ready to be charged, I just put the case underneath. Mine has a little knob I turn, and I've got it so I know exactly what to do. Turn the knob, drops the powder, and away I go. The newer ones, there's I believe it looks like there's a handle. You push the handle up, drops your charge. That's a powder measure. I would I would almost say it's mandatory. If you try to do it with a scale, you know, what happens is, you know, you put too much in, now you got to try and scoop some out, then you scoop too much out, then you got to put a little bit in. It's a nightmare. If you're getting to high accuracy rifle shooting, then, you know, I can understand using a scale, because you want to make sure that, you know, with a powder measure, I don't think it'd be unreasonable. Like, I drop, I'd have to double check, but I believe it's 5.5 grains of powder per case. Now, is it 5.5 every single time? Probably not. Is it 5.4, 5.6, 5.3? Chances are there is a variance in there a little bit. So if you're looking for high accuracy, then those guys are most likely probably doing the scoop with the scale, you know, tiny little pieces at a time until they get it exactly, and they know exactly every single round is 5.5 dead on. Cowboy shooting, it doesn't have to be dead on. As long as it's close, that it's not going to blow up my gun or cause a squib, you know, I'm good. So a powder measure for everyday shooter that's not doing high accuracy stuff. Absolutely, I would very, very much highly recommend. I could not highly recommend it more. Next would be, as far as an extra, is, and I say it's an extra because there's different options you can get, and that is something to measure for your overall length. A lot of times, if you're reading, you'll see people or magazines or manuals write OAL. That stands for overall length. So what that is you've seated the bullet, but you need to know how deep to seat that bullet in, so you need to know the overall length. And you need some way of measuring. I went out and bought a micrometer. I can't remember how much I paid for it, but it was pretty reasonable. You know, I don't even want to guess at the price, but I'm a bit of a cheap, don't want to say ass, because I don't want to cuss on the podcast. Ha ha ha, funny guy. I'm a bit of a cheapskate sometimes, so, you know, I tend to want to do things on the economical side of things. How about we put it that way? So, I know it couldn't have been too much, otherwise I would have found a cheaper option. There is, I checked on Hornady's site, it was Lyman's site, and they have, I don't have the website in front of me, case, overall length case gauges or something. I can't remember exactly how, and I've lost my spot in my show notes. You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link to each of the manufacturers in the show notes. You know, go to their website. You'll see all the different things there, all the different options. And like I said, you know, the micrometer I think is probably your best bet. There's other sorts of gauges you can get. For pistols, I think that just about does it. Let me rack my brain real quick. A lot of this is based on the process I do. You know, there's all sorts of different, you know, you can get powder tricklers where it'll drop like one little grain of powder at a time. Again, that's more for high-end accuracy loading. That's not something you're going to worry about if you're doing IPSC, IDPA, or cowboy shooting. Not something you're going to worry about with pistols. Pistols in itself, they're not an accurate firearm. It's a short barrel. They're for short distances, up close and personal. And, you know, so you're not going to worry about powder tricklers and stuff. And when it comes to progressive presses and turret presses, there's, you know, different accessories you can get for putting in, automatically putting in your primers. With mine, I got a priming arm, but I got to manually put in a primer each time, you know. So there's, now I know with my press, I can get an automatic primer feeder system for it. Again, extra money, you know, I'm not that worried about it. And yeah, so that's that. Oh my goodness, I just about forgot this most important item outside of your press, and that's a manual. My kit came with a manual. I would like to think that all kits do, but since I'm not familiar with every reloading kit, then I should mention it here. I bought a Lyman kit. It came with the manual. It came with pretty much everything I needed, minus a powder measure. So I got the manual. When I was doing my kind of pre-research, kind of what you're doing right now, you know, listening to a podcast, what the heck do I need to get started, right? When I was doing the same situation, a lot of the forums and a lot of the people I talked to had mentioned, you know, make sure, you know, if you get a Lee manual, if you get, or you get a Lee kit, comes with a manual, you get an RCBS, I don't know if they have their own manual or not, but make sure you get a Lyman manual. They are kind of the authority on reloading. I made it easy and just went and bought the whole kit, and then it came with a manual. But the other one, and I don't know, because I haven't been in the market for reloading stuff, is Speer. They're a projectile bullet manufacturer, And that was another one that was really highly recommended on forums and talking with people. So, you know, this is a little bit do as I say, not as I do, because I only have the one manual, the Lyman manual. But a lot of people have recommended to get two. So that is that. I think that does it for this episode. Next episode, I will go through each step of the reloading process. But for now, this gives you your shopping list. So go out, be merry, spend lots of money, and then come back and listen to episode 10 for what the heck do I do with this thing I just bought. Alright, so take care, guys, and until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange, and as always, keep them smoking.